views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I'm really excited about today's guests. We're fortunate to have Emily and Michael Price with us, and I'm going to introduce both of them. And together, the three of us are going to be talking about how to rehumanize the workplace, and we'll explain what that means in just a couple of minutes. So Emily is a well-being strategist for CBIZ Wellbeing Solutions. She's a thriving workplace culture consultant, and she helps clients find ways to improve employee well-being and enhance their business performance. Her true passion can be summed up in a simple phrase, helping people thrive. And what could be better? Her efforts to promote optimal well-being are lived out in her work as well as her own life. In her spare time, she promotes the benefits of holistic health as a yoga instructor and certified fitness instructor. Her involvement in local, national, and international organizations fuel her obsession to empower organizations and leaders to maximize their full potential. Emily graduated from the University of Missouri with a bachelor's degree in health sciences and a minor in nutrition, and she also has a master's degree from the same university in health promotion and public health. Michael Price is a senior client experience manager at Veterans United Home Loans and has helped military members and their families obtain the goal of homeownership for over 10 years. As a leader in customer advocacy, Michael is passionate about enhancing the lives of others and providing genuine care throughout a sometimes stressful home buying process. Uplifting those around him has helped Michael succeed in leadership roles, both personally and professionally. Working at Veterans United has allowed Michael to experience a living case study of the impact of organizational culture. And during his time there, Michael's growing passion is to be a co-creator of thriving workplace culture as well. And he leads on-site book clubs, captains a charity cycling team, and serves on the board of Veterans United's 100% employee-funded charitable foundation. Michael graduated from the University of Missouri with degrees in international business and with a BS in business administration and a BA in international studies. He also spent a semester studying in Spain, pursuing a minor in the Spanish language. So welcome, Emily and Michael.
Hi. We're so excited to be here with you, Claudette, and really love what you already are doing to help transform organizational culture.
Hello, Claudette. That was a great intro. It's so great to be with you and to be a part of your program. We're just so happy to be here, and what a great topic to talk about, rehumanization, and excited to get into that and talk about what that means.
Oh, yeah. So glad you're both here, and I think, you know, you both... For listeners, I was really fortunate to hear and meet Emily and Michael at a conference a couple of months ago where they really talked about their experiences in their own companies at CBIZ and Veterans United Home Loans, rehumanizing the workplace. So I'm excited we get to talk about your very real world experiences doing this. And I think that's going to be so valuable for listeners today. So one of the things, you know, we need to clear up right away is, what is this idea of rehumanization? That's kind of a new word, rehumanization in the workplace. What do we mean when we say that?
Yeah, that is kind of a big question. And so the way I like to describe it is that rehumanization is about nurturing human qualities in an environment where people thrive at work every day, where people spend the majority of their time. So to me, this is about seeing each other as human and fostering trusting teams, incorporating meaning and purpose in our work every day, and living out our values. It's also about working towards common goals and learning from our mistakes along the way. As you can imagine, no organization is perfect. And so rehumanization is that charge that helps people work towards thriving culture every single day.
Absolutely. And what's interesting, and I'm glad you mentioned the learning from mistakes and no organization's perfect, because I think, first of all, it's true. And also that sometimes when I've heard folks talk about rehumanizing the workplace, the emphasis tends to be a lot on relationships, which I know you both emphasize and is very important. But I think there's also this other piece around how do we interact with each other as real humans, right? We make mistakes, we learn from them, we're going to have bad days, things are going to go wrong. And it sounds like that's also part of rehumanizing. Is that the case?
Yeah, I think so. And when you have that space in an organization for people to breathe and be themselves, you find that you have trouble with a blanket policy or a cultural perspective that's one size fits all. Just knowing that it's the faces, it's the stories, it's the coworkers, the people that you're with every day. And each of those persons is going to have a different story, and that's going to cause them to act differently in the workplace, and making that space for that to be okay, which may come with great successes, may come with some mistakes. But when you take that all-inclusive approach, knowing that people are individuals and everybody's got a story and there's space for that, we just think that's a really important part of making that workplace more human.
And what have you seen in terms of in either of your own workplaces or other organizations that you've worked with? What have you seen in terms of results? I'm curious, you know, have you been able to connect the rehumanization and seeing people really as, like you said, humans who have a story with improved, you know, like say productivity and results of work? Have you been able to see a connection there?
You know, it's interesting. I think there's a wide range of metrics, and there is more and more opportunity in this space of culture development to say, hey, how are we showcasing our successes? Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of research done a lot recently even about the millennial generation and kind of the meaning and purpose in their work and what's the result of those interactions that take place. So for example, Gallup had a study not that long ago that described most Americans in the workplace would say they have only two best friends at work. And if we could increase that number to 6 out of 10, then we would start realizing impacts in productivity, in customer satisfaction, and in all other aspects of our business, because we know that as relationships thrive, that continues to spill over into other components of an organization. So I think it's important, and we'll discuss this further later, to define within each organization what their metrics are and how they want to view success in order to really hone in on their focus. But I will say that there has been a lot of work done to describe the successes that we're seeing. And it goes beyond healthcare cost savings. It's really looking at overall metrics of organizational health.
Thanks for sharing that. And you know, one of the things that comes up when I talk to leaders about this sometimes, and I'm curious what the two of you have experienced, is this idea of best friends at work. So some leaders might say, well, why would I want my employees to have 6 best friends at work? Won't that distract them from getting their work done? Aren't they going to talk about their personal lives and what they're doing this weekend? Right. And do you know what I'm saying? That's a real mindset, particularly for leaders who are of a different generation, right? That mm-hmm. Isn't that going to be distracting?
Yeah, that's such a great point. And there's so many ways to think of potential roadblocks or challenges when we're talking about these ideas that sometimes are hard to put your finger on, especially with metrics, relationships right. In the workplace, measuring that. But what we know to be true is that when employees possess a deep sense of affiliation, either with their team members, their organization, the values of that organization and the mission, they're going to be more inclined to take actions that they may have otherwise not taken, because they're going to feel part of a team. They're going to feel almost as part of a family. There's going to be a oneness. So connecting people and letting them be best friends, I think it drives that teamwork mentality. And when people are free to do that, they're going to be motivated to go above and beyond to protect that team or that organization and really benefit the business. And I think that some of those things they may just not do otherwise if they don't feel that connection to the people around them and to the company. What's really unique for me is I've been within Veterans United for 10 years. So I've had a long career here. It grew from 100 employees to now 2,800. And one of the things that really attracted me when I first got here was that family feeling, or just coming to work and knowing that there was something different about everyone here. They were smiling. They were asking you personal questions, getting to know you. How was your weekend? It was really just a shared culture that we had, and it was sort of organic. That's been protected as the company's grown. And as more and more people have been added to that, it hasn't gotten washed out, and it's just as strong today as it was at the beginning. And I think that is because it's a safe place. Coming to work and knowing that everyone appreciates those friendships and there's permission for that. It's been really beautiful for us here. There's been a recent survey of our employees. And the question is, I'm proud to tell others that I work here. 98% of our employees felt that way, and 97% feel that people here care about each other. So those are some metrics, but I think that's really powerful when you're thinking about 2,800 people, all different backgrounds, and 97% of them feel that they're cared for and they're proud to tell people they work there. I think for sure that's going to translate into good activity inside the workplace.
Yeah, congratulations on that. You know, I know that's that without knowing more, and I know you'll share more of the story, you know, as we go on with the show, but for the leaders of your company to have, Veterans United, to have been able to move, protect the culture and move that feeling of connectedness and family from 100 people to 2,800 people is no small feat, right? That's a really big deal because it's not easy to do. Because when you know, as you know, with 100 people versus 2,800, you have more systems and processes, right? You need more structure in an organization. And some of that can erode some of that family feeling over time. And so congratulations. I think I'm getting excited to hear more about the story after we come back from a break. So we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. When we come back, we're going to learn more about Veterans United home loans and what they've been doing to really maintain this amazing culture. Stay tuned.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guests today are Emily and Michael Price. And Emily and Michael work at two really amazing organizations, CBiz Wellbeing Solutions and Veterans United Home Loans, that are both doing really amazing work with rehumanizing the workplace and creating great workplace cultures. So Michael, before we went on break, we were just starting to talk a little bit about how Veterans United Home Loans has really been able to protect the family-like connected culture it has. And I think we'd all love to hear more about how did they do that? How did you all do that?
Yeah. Well, it's so important, right? To try to understand how can other folks attach to things that have been proven to be good. And you know, the reality is the resource at any company that stands out and is the most important is the people. So I think that one of the things that's been really central here is through our shared values and actually the stated company values that weren't in place right at the beginning. But there was a feel for just what our culture was as a smaller company with a good positive environment, and hiring over the years and attracting folks that were similar and connecting to that culture, I think has been a really big, important step for us in terms of as we grow, how do we translate into the future something good, like a family spirit. And so really, I think I just give a lot of credit to our human resources team and to our recruiters. I think they're actually going out and looking for new hires, and they want to know they fit the culture first and foremost. Those hard skills, those are important, but they might even be secondary. And so I think that's been a big part of Veterans United's success in really protecting that great culture is through hiring and bringing in folks that have those same shared values.
Yeah, and that's really huge, isn't it? When you bring in people who have the same shared values or similar values, it seems like you're many steps ahead already, that you have that kind of what I like to call alignment with the culture.
Yeah, it's great to remember when our values were actually released. I was here a couple years before we had any formal written values, and our CEO Nate was quoted talking about this, and he said, you know, one day people just started talking about what a great place it was to work, and as we grew and time passed, we became aware that we probably needed to be more intentional about keeping it that way. Mm-hmm. From that was an employee-driven process. And that was, what are our shared values? And let's get a value statement together. What was really great is the leadership here said, hey, we don't want to come in and say we know what our vision is going to be, or we want to direct all these people in one way. They came with that approach that said, why don't you all tell us? And that, to me, I remember feeling so respected and so valued when I found out we were going to have a value statement. And the first thing that happened was a survey got sent to me. People started getting together, talking about it. And I was actually asked to input what was important to me about the company. And so from that, we did create some values. And they're really important here. Everyone knows them. And they're hung up around the office, just like a lot of companies do. But it's really amazing to see how that's lived out. And like I said before, I think that is just the collection of folks that have that shared sense, and through hiring, keeping that intact, but also letting them participate in the creation of that. And really, when you have shared values, everybody's going to demonstrate them in their own personal way. So that's what we were talking about with rehumanization and people being unique and being individuals. There's different ways to express the same shared value. And so I think a space here that's been created intentionally for employees to take ownership of the values and what it means to them has been really a big part of the success as well, and letting it live and breathe and evolve and just kind of letting people be free to express themselves according to those shared values.
Yeah. And I like, you know, one thing that's really interesting about values in terms of culture, cultural values and organizational values, is that so often, you know, the sad and classic example is Enron that listed integrity as a value right on its wall before it did what it did, which obviously completely lacked integrity. And yet, you know, this is a great example of values that they're shared, right? I love that you guys as employees came up with a set of values, the shared values, and you really had a hand in it. So it was this very intentional and it sounds like organic, inclusive process, but that you're really seeing that people do live out the values, right? And I think that's sometimes the disconnect. And I was curious if you've seen, if there have been times when people, you know, at Veterans United, where someone's had to have a conversation with somebody because they were actually not really living out the values, that there was something going on that they, in which they weren't aligned with the values that are important to the company.
Yeah. And again, having the environment where it's free to make mistakes, mm-hmm. even with a cultural issue. And as part of the team, we're all here in this company thinking, okay, we don't want to just be consumers of the culture. Right. We want to actually be active participants. And mm-hmm. there comes, it's almost like stewardship at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, we're each one of us is responsible for this culture, and not only the way that we act, but in the way that we observe others. So I recall a meeting that we had at one of our annual get-togethers, and we're celebrating. We're talking about how great things are. And one of our leaders got up and even said, you know, if you do find someone who's out of step with the values, part of the expectation here is that you'll talk to them about it. And sure, that's done respectfully and with compassion and empathy. And mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is everyone's in the same room and we're hearing that, hey, you know what? You have permission to make mistakes, but if somebody comes and talks to you about that, it's because they care about the company as well and about the culture here. And don't feel threatened by that. Actually encourage that. Let's have an environment of feedback with one another. So it's funny that you mentioned that, and it's been specifically talked about here. And I think it's happened on occasion. And it's been really valuable for folks.
You know, you just said something. Thanks for sharing that. You just said something so, I think so important that I don't hear very often, which is we're not just consumers of the culture. We are intentional participants in living the culture. Mm. And that is a huge difference, right? There are people who go into workplaces and they are more, to use your word, a consumer of the culture, right? I want to work in a good culture, so please provide one for me.
Right.
And you know, to an extent, there's nothing wrong with wanting to work in a good culture, of course, right? But you're talking about phase two, which is we are intentional participants in living and creating and shaping this culture every day, right? And so that if we do go to, you know, like you said, if someone goes, we are allowed to make mistakes. That's part of your culture, Veterans United. And if someone does come chat with you about something, it's really out of care, right? So it sounds like most of what happens around the culture is saying we're creating this and we're designing it, right? And and we get to make mistakes, and it's because we really care, right?
If
we
exactly. Speak to
somebody. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and we've talked a little bit about the small groups here, Claudette, and you were kind of interested in that. I think that was one of the really unique highlights that I was able to share, which plays right into this, really. And when I was doing a little bit of research with the company and with the HR team before I spoke at a conference about our culture, I kind of led into it and I said, gosh, you know, tell me more about how you guys have created it. Because I see the leadership as the masterminds of the culture here. And I said, I think that they've been so good at leading this culture. Tell me more about that. And one of the first things I got back was, you know, we don't really view it as the leadership from the top is driving the culture here. it's almost flipped upside down. The leadership here actually believes that it's the employees from the bottom all the way up, not even to use those words, bottom to the top, but you get what I mean. But that everyone here is leading the culture. And what the ownership and the managers here try to do is just create that environment that helps people express themselves and facilitates the culture here. Not necessarily try to direct it, but facilitate it. And so one of the ways that they sort of do that is through encouraging folks to join small groups. And these are a small group here at Veterans United, just to give a little background on what it is it's an employee-led interest group. And it meets on site. So if I, for example, wanted to be a part of a small group, I would look to connect with other coworkers in a social setting. And I would find out, hey, who in my office is leading one? What's the topic? If it was of interest to me, I would join it. And we would begin to meet together regularly as friends. And they've taken this program. It's been organic from the start. And it's about getting those folks in the same room who work together every day to talk about their lives outside of work and help build trust. And that trust is really essential in providing that backdrop for employees to come to one another and protect that culture or provide feedback across departments or teams.
Yeah, I love that. And I, you know, especially, I think you hit the key point, right? These aren't just let's get together because it's a nice thing to do. It's really about building those trust and relationships, right? Which are inherently important and help people work together more effectively, right? And move forward the mission of the organization. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Michael, I'm going to ask you to share a favorite story of mine that you shared at the Culture Ambassadors Conference. This is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
High-frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal, and this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it, and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change, that you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Join Jennifer Noel Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with my guests, Emily and Michael Price, and we are talking about rehumanizing the workplace. And Michael, we were just talking about the small groups at Veterans United Home Loans, and I had right before the break mentioned to you that I'd love you to share a story, one of my favorite stories that you shared at the conference we were both at. And do you mind sharing that with listeners?
Yeah, it is so helpful in telling stories when you're trying to create a shared understanding. And so I think I do have a great one. I'd love to share it with you and your listeners. But I was able this year to start a small group. It was my first time leading one. And I had been interested in this topic of emotions. And I was married last year. So my wife and I are getting off the ground with our new marriage. And one of the things we did was do kind of an emotion study. And what I learned was, is that as a big masculine guy, sometimes I didn't have an environment to talk about my emotions. Mm-hmm. And really useful to learn that. So I had this crazy idea one day that I would come to work and start a men's group and center it on a book to study emotions and help us get more in touch with our emotional side and just create a space here to grow. So I sent an email out and I got a couple of responses, but I walked around the office and sort of sold it to a few guys that I'm friends with. And I really talked them into coming, and I said, hey, just trust me. And, you know, of course, coming up to another guy at the office and saying, hey, I'm starting a group on emotions. Would you like to? It kind of catches you off guard, but
yeah.
everybody knows me here, and I can be, You might expect something unexpected from me coming around to your desk. But anyway, I assembled this group of brave men that came together to join my small group. And it's 8 weeks. So every week we get together. There's 8 core emotions that we're studying. So each week is centered on a different one. And the first week was really the true test. We're all getting together for the first time. And we're going to talk about why we joined the small group. And so I kind of put a question out there to everyone. And I said, tell me what your why is behind being here, what you're hoping to get out of it. I led off. I started talking. I kind of helped be a little bit vulnerable to break the tension. And then I let the silence kind of take over. And all the guys are looking around at each other. And I was at that pivotal moment where I was like, is this going to work or not work? And this is the moment to tell us. One of the guys that I didn't expect to talk was a good friend of mine, and he's a big, strong, quiet guy, deep voice, and he kind of spoke up and he said, well, I have 3 brothers, and my dad taught us about emotions, and you could either be really angry or upset, or you could be happy. And that was it. I'm married now, and my wife is bringing up other feelings. So I would like to learn more about what those are so I could mm-hmm. be more successful in relating to her. And everybody starts laughing. But what was really neat was he was so sincere and saying, you know what? I never really had a space. I'm middle-aged. I'm grown up. I never had a space to get together with other guys to talk about feelings. And here he is at work. And we work in mortgages. So I laugh sometimes. You wouldn't expect that at 25, 30 years old at work, now you have this unique opportunity to get together with 6 or 7 guys that you know and trust and to talk about things like your emotions. It's hilarious, but it really captures the essence of the culture here. And, you know, if I brought that up to someone and said, hey, I'm starting this group, they're going to say, go for it. Tell us how it goes. Even if they're skeptical that I may not succeed with a group like that, the company was so supportive and they wanted to know how it went. And we're in our eighth week now, we're almost finished. And I'm telling you, it's been so powerful. We've cried together, we've laughed together. And I just think that those small groups create a really unique opportunity here at work for people to be themselves and to share their life stories.
Thank you. I mean, thank you so much for sharing that story. And it is, I mean, it's, like you said, it has a lot of humor in it, but it's also a really beautiful story, you know, vulnerability and trust and, you know, you taking the risk to bring people together in a way that wasn't as comfortable, right, as it might have been on a different topic, you know, and the story of that, right, that gentleman who shared, hey, I know, you know, happy and mad are the two emotions I know, so I'm open to learning about sad and disappointed and joy and, right, all the other ones. So it's really... Thank you for sharing that. It's a great, great example. It brings all of this to life.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. So Emily, you guys have been doing some amazing things at CBiz. And I remember that from the conference we all attended, right? With culture clubs and teams. And I know it's a huge part of CBiz. Tell us more about that. What do you guys have going on these days?
Yeah, sure. We are, as a consulting team, are always looking in the industry for new ideas and concepts, but we also are doing a lot of work internally. And one of those great ideas that's come to life here is our very own culture club. And what this is about is co-creating an environment where employees can thrive. And it's really been amazing to see the journey that we've gone down to bring a chairperson and 15 employee volunteers to start to come together and have conversations about what are we doing here to provide team building opportunities and be connected to the community and celebrate successes with each other. And so our culture club is just a chance for us to do that, to kind of create a system and process where we can continue to evolve and take our organization to the next level.
That's great. So you have a chairperson, you have 15 employees, right?
And that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. That's how it started
then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How big is it now?
Let's see. I'd have to go back and look. I think we have closer to 20 now. And mm-hmm. what we have done is kind of formalize these different divisions. So we set out with a huge hurrah from our leader. And what we were asked to do is really define what success looked like first before anything. And we were able to come up with some strategies around internal and external team building and community involvement and those successes, like I mentioned. And we have seen that there's been some amazing things that have been successful. For example, we've had a spare room that we've tried to use for many different purposes, but just ended up relaunching a recharge cafe this July as a place for people to come, maybe charge their phone, grab a cup of coffee, connect with each other. And this was kind of an unused space in the floor. And we found that it's really created an opportunity for people to come together. So we've tried a lot of different things and a lot of them have started to really create a ripple effect through our organization. And we've since then added new divisions to our culture club. So we've expanded slightly and that's been really cool to see too.
So I love this recharge cafe. So if I'm, you know, been working really hard for 2 or 3 hours, right? And I just can't think anymore. I can just go down to the recharge cafe, get right. a cup of coffee and chat with people for 15 minutes. Is that exactly. the idea?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've had kind of all hands on deck with the process of designing the room. And what started originally as let's make this a spare workout room. And again, I think those opportunities for employee feedback are really critical. So we found that workout room was unsuccessful, but as we continue to ask questions and dive deeper, we've done some employee surveys even to take inventory of what people are wanting to see more of, where are we lacking, which has all contributed to us, our measuring of successes. That inventory of information has led to this Recharge Cafe, for example, and some other really exciting initiatives.
I love that. And especially this emphasis, and I know this is true with Michael's company as well, is really getting feedback from employees, right? Really not making assumptions about what people want.
Right.
Really the opposite. And I think that's so key and important. I hear stories about companies, well, we tried, you know, we started this and we tried that, but nothing happened. And often I'll dig deeper and find out that they didn't really ask, right? They didn't really dig deep to find out what people wanted or needed.
Yeah.
Like you did with the Recharge Cafe. It'd be great to hear what are a couple of the other successes you guys have had as a culture club? How does that impact your business?
Yeah. Well, one of the things we've tracked that's just started to kind of play out is the retention component. So seeing where's turnover at, we've had a really great increase in engagement scores that we've taken nationally, but we kind of carved out that data to look at our local office and see how it's played a role. So we really believe that some of those concepts have, we've been able to realize some impact from the really kind of important business metrics that are out there, productivity, performance. We're still working on other ways to hone and track those metrics. But again, one of our strategic objectives was to set out with this mission and vision of here's what it's going to look like for us. So for example, in 2018, we had a goal of engaging other individuals that maybe weren't participating in culture club activities. And so what we've been able to do is broaden our reach. So open up some family events so people can bring their spouses or kids, and trying to kind of broaden our reach and tap on individuals that maybe weren't participating previously. And we have tracked inventory of that and been able to see where impact has started to grow.
It's great you've been able to really get some metrics around it, right? And bring it to life that way. And I'm curious, has there been, have you heard anecdotal feedback too from, I imagine you have, from employees saying, wow, it's been so great that this has happened, or this has really helped improve my work life. I mean, those kinds of stories, are you hearing those as well?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And that happened within the first few months. And we're consulting and we work with employee benefits and all different types of employee service divisions. So we are doing a lot of work for our clients, and that opportunity to say, let's pour into ourselves here to keep us moving forward and really giving the best that we can to our clients. We immediately had people that have worked there for many, many years start to say, wow, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling like there's an energy, there's a lift in the environment. And that has been one of our huge success stories that we're continuing to share. We were able to put together a video this year of just employee feedback, basically, and employees sharing their experience with how Culture Club has impacted them personally.
You know, I love that. We're going to go to a break in just a second here, but I want to say I love that you actually heard from people. I've worked here for years, and now it's so much better. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a testament to what you've been able to do. I mean, congratulations, because that's huge.
It's really positive. And there's opportunity for every company to grow and improve their culture. And so we've just started to kind of see that there's this huge readiness for employees to provide their input and grow to the next level with the culture front.
Wow. And so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to actually build on that as we move into recommendations. And, you know, what you both, for listeners who are getting excited and thinking, oh, I'd love to bring some of this into my company, you know, how they can actually do that. What are a couple of steps they can take? So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about how you can start doing this in your own company today.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Miss any shows during the week? Don't worry, we've got you covered. With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. We've been having a really great conversation today with Emily and Michael Price talking about rehumanizing the workplace. And, you know, Emily and Michael, it's been really such a pleasure to be able to talk about what your two different companies, right? Well, CBiz Wellbeing Solutions and Veterans United Home Loans have been able to do with culture. And I know one thing we wanted to make sure to cover for folks today was and talk about recommendations, right, for people who want to start small groups, for people who love the idea of a culture club, right? How can they start thinking about it? How can they start getting information, data, position it to their leadership, you know, all those good things. So love to hear your thoughts on, you know, any of the above.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think most importantly, we do want to just be able to share the application. How can we take something from this and apply it to our lives today?
Yeah.
And within our team, Wellbeing Solutions, and just all of CBiz, we really have embraced that opportunity to gather feedback first and foremost. So before putting forth money and energy into a program or an initiative, really kind of surveying the land. And VU has done a great job of continually surveying employees. I know there's a lot of rich information to gain from that. The other thing I would say is giving people permission to fail. So with culture clubs, you know, really it started with not just the leaders saying, let's do this, let's commit to this, but managers, those frontline managers are such strong drivers of culture because they have said they influence employee well-being and employee engagement by 70%. So really kind of capturing that mentorship opportunity, that coaching manager relationship so that people can feel empowered to participate in something, whether it's a wellness or culture event. We've done a lot with recognizing employees and trying to honor milestones in their lives. So having a birthday happy hour, for example, has worked really well for us and to bring people together and, you know, if somebody gets engaged or married, we're having celebratory events for them. So it's about really rehumanizing and getting people to think beyond just the work day and embracing their personal lives as well.
Great examples. And they're all great. And the second one, I want to emphasize permission to fail. I think it's so important that just because something doesn't work one time, right, or an idea doesn't work, doesn't mean the whole, you throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, right? The whole concept of culture or a culture club or a small group or just getting engaged and rehumanizing the workplace isn't a great idea for your company. In fact, I would say we would want to expect certain things to not work, right? And the exercise of trial and error and learn from it and move on. Yeah. So important.
One of my favorite quotes by Angela Arendt is, instincts allow you to pursue the possibilities rather than protect the probabilities. So it's saying, let's go ahead and lean into those opportunities instead of kind of stepping back for fear that they might fail. And that's one of the things I think that's in the future going to separate the thriving organizations from just the surviving organizations, because those leaders and those employees that are willing to kind of jump through the hoops and try things and fail are really going to step up the game in terms of performance and relationship building in the workforce.
Can you just say that quote one more time for us?
Sure.
I think that was really valuable. Yeah.
It says, instincts allow you to pursue the possibilities rather than protect the probabilities. It really struck me as something that, you know, we can start to embody in our organizations. And instincts are kind of that, I think of as intuitive gift that gives us really an understanding of whether or not we should lean in or lean out of something.
Absolutely. And I just think, and who, just so we can give attribution, who is the author of the quote?
Angela Arendt.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. And I think I wanted to just emphasize that because that is huge. Instincts allowing you to pursue possibilities rather than protecting the probabilities that, i.e. something won't work, right? So really, it's a really huge mindset shift in some organizations, for sure.
Right.
For sure. Thank you for sharing. That's huge. And I also didn't want to forget, you mentioned that there's a webinar or something that people can tap into to learn more, right? I don't know what the details are of that. Yeah.
Recently we put together, our well-being team put together a webinar. My colleague and I were talking a lot about the practical application for enhancing culture through building your organization's policies and procedures that may start to have ripple effects. So if you would be interested in learning about that resource, it's totally free. Message me on LinkedIn. It's Emily Babcock Price. I would love to put that in your hands.
Wonderful. Thank you for offering that to listeners. I mean, I'm going to look at it myself. I haven't seen it, but it sounds like an incredibly valuable tool. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So listeners, Emily Babcock Price through LinkedIn to access this webinar. Wonderful. So other ideas, other applications. Michael, what would you like to share from your experiences?
Yeah, I love this notion that as we kind of touched on previously, being a contributor to the culture and not just someone who consumes it. And you know, it's on my heart to say to anyone listening, you know, no matter where you find yourself in an organization, whether you have a particular title or a sphere of influence that is formalized or not, anywhere you find yourself today, as it pertains to driving culture, I think we have so much opportunity to be advocates for good culture and for rehumanizing the teams we work in and the people around us. And we have so much influence that maybe we don't realize. And so I just think, just an encouragement to know that be the change you're looking for. And I know that that's something that gets talked about, but it's so powerful to start small and start organically and start with yourself. I know for myself, sometimes I imagine, you know, what would I do if I weren't working at Veterans United? After being in such a positive culture and really this company can feel like a family sometimes, if I found myself elsewhere that didn't have that same culture, what would I do? And I really think I would start by bringing coffee to those around me, just something generous or kind, and start small, and really just treat people with the realization that they have more going on in their lives than what you just see at work, and be curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
So building relationships and, a great thing to do might be to start a small group. If you're in a team and you work closely with folks, you see them all the time, but you don't know too much about them. You don't know what their families are like or what their hobbies are. you might have to start. And it may be off the clock. It might be before work or after work. And it could be small, 20, 30 minutes. Hey, let's grab a bite or let's have a cup of coffee and let's just have a space to talk. I think that each one of us inside an organization has that potential to start to change the culture. And it can be really small. And one of the things that's unique is that is kind of how it started here. Those small groups were just a few offshoots here and there. And what was really funny was folks started asking questions, hey, where are you going? Or where did you just get back from? And people wanted to be included and it grew over time. And that started it at a very small level with just one person taking an initiative.
That's a great story about that. Or yeah, one person takes an initiative, right? Has an idea, they move forward on it and it very organically grew, mm-hmm. right? And not that we should, sometimes we have to be of course very intentional and planful about shifts in culture, right? But that's an example of that organic nature where it sounds like it just gets woven into the fabric, right? Of how you all operate together.
Yeah.
Which is another great way for change to take place.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely advocating for those things and being upfront about the why behind it and explaining the because and going to leadership and saying, hey, my team, we started meeting and here's why we did it. And now we find that we have more trust and, you know, here's an example of I stayed later this week to get that project done because I knew that I wanted to help that coworker out. And giving that feedback up through the organization can really help to maybe turn that organic thing into more of a system or institutionalized change.
Yeah, and you hit on a really important point, I know, as we're starting to wrap up the show, which is the why and the because, right? The importance of, especially when you're trying to influence something like this in your organization, or maybe you need to present to your leadership, you need to give the why and the because,
right.
And really build that case, so to speak, and paint that picture for people who aren't feeling, they don't have the same vision you have. So you need to paint the picture for them so they can start to kind of, they can see it and understand the why behind it. And one of the, you know, I'm really fortunate to do consulting in the culture arena. And one of the things that I really love, and I'm sure you both have seen this in various ways as well, is when the light comes back on in somebody's eyes,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they're suddenly, yeah, you know, they get to participate in something, or maybe they felt really downtrodden by what was going on in the organization. And then something shifts and the light comes back on and there, a lot of their potential and brilliance starts to emerge again. And that's what I get from what, you know, from you guys are both doing, what you both are doing in your organizations, and I'm sure in the larger mm-hmm. world as well. So thank you for that. And thank you so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Claudette. We have loved it and really appreciated your time and energy, and look forward to continuing the conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you. And thank you, Michael, also for, you know, as well for being here. And it's been great to have both of you talking about your experiences where that very much are different and complementary at the same time.
It was a real pleasure. And I'm so appreciative of your audience for tuning in and making that intentional step to learn more and to grow and to care about something so important as well-being in the workplace.
Absolutely. So thank you, listeners, for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. As always, we had a great time, a very insightful time. Please join me the second and fourth Fridays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at claudetterowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.